Is it interesting now when you go out and do stand-up? Is it obviously different than when you first started? Because there's an assumption that these people would not have shown up if they didn't already like your work.
Yes, I like that. I don't miss the days, you know, of being comedian number 12 when they go, who's this kid? But you know, it's one of the, it is a lovely thing. And I've come to really appreciate, you know, when you see, when you, you come to a show, when I get to the show and I see there's, you know, a packed audience of people, that they, I understand what they did. They bought a ticket, they drove, they made plans. And I know for myself, that's not easy to do all the time. So I'm very appreciative and conscious of the effort made. And yeah, there is this thing, you know, I've been around and doing so many things so long that when people, there is this feeling of the, with the audience now of like getting together with old friends. You know, people kind of go, oh yeah, we grew up with this guy. You know, we got married when he got married to Helen Hunt on the TV show. We had a kid when they had a kid. Our kids grew up when that fake baby grew up. So, you know, we all, there is this really nice sense that we've all gone through this together. And it's a wonderful feeling.
Do you occasionally get those younger people, maybe came with their parents, who say, I didn't know the doctor from Stranger Things was, yes, a funny guy.
Yeah, yeah, we had no idea. We thought he was going to give us a checkup. Yeah, but you know, to my surprise and relief, they have a good time. You know, because I think I talk a lot. You know, people say, "What do you talk about?" I always say, I'm not smart enough to make anything up, so I'm just going to tell you what happened in my house, and which is great if you're in my age group and roughly. But 18-year-olds, because they're, you know, younger people are going, oh yeah, that sounds like my parents. I go, okay, that's fun too. It didn't happen to you, but you saw it. So it's nice to see the audience grow, you know, from Stranger Things and The Boys. There's a whole new sort of spectrum of audience that comes in to see me, which I'm loving.
I love the new special, by the way, Life, Death, and Rice Pudding. I was shocked that it's been, what, 30-some years since you've done a comedy special?
Yeah, I like to space them out, Rich. I don't want to cramp the airwaves. You know, I took a long time off inadvertently. It ended up being a long time that I just wasn't out there doing stand-up. I was doing Mad About You and a whole bunch of other stuff. And even when I got back into stand-up, you know, whatever, 8-10 years ago, I wasn't anxious. I wasn't that eager to do a special. I just felt like I'd rather just go to town, and as Jay Leno used to say, his parents describing his work. He goes town to town and tells jokes to people in different towns. It's like, yeah, that's not false, but it doesn't sound right when you say it like that. We're not gypsies. We're not, you know, circus people. Yeah, but you know, I would watch so many comics. I don't make a point of watching comics, but I would just flip in channels and you see something. And then I'll go, oh, I got a bit that's like that. Oh, gee, I do something like that. Now I'll have to throw it out. And I thought, you know what? I'm tired of throwing stuff out. Let me put my flag in the ground. Let me go, here's what I'm doing. You work around it.
It's nice that you put a disclaimer at the beginning that there's no redeeming value in what you have to say.
Yeah, if you're coming here to learn something, you may want to leave now. I got nothing to teach you, but you're going to have a great time. And I do feel confident. People leave going, that was really an hour and a half of really just fun. And that's, you know, I used to, part of the reason I put a disclaimer, I meant it seriously, because, you know, you watch the news and there's just so much happening every day and the world is in flux. And at times I would feel kind of silly. Like, what am I doing just talking about silly things? And then I've come to realize, no, people are really welcome. Can we have a break, please? Can we not talk about anything that's going to upset me? And, you know, that was a surprise to me to realize, oh, I just said it as a sort of silly throwaway. But people applauded. They were going, thank you. Thank you. Cool. Let's just laugh. And then we'll watch the news when we get home.
One thing you said really resonated with me, because I teach high school and working with young people. And there was a time that probably stopped about 15 or 20 years ago when they would say, hey, how old are you, Mr. Kimball? And I would say, oh, I don't know, guess. And they would always be low. But now I'm adopting your approach completely, which is if you're going to lie about your age, always go high. Because when I tell them I'm 87, they're like, man, you look great.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. If you try and lie, they're going to see through it. You're not 27. And if you are, you look terrible. But if you're 87, God bless you. You're doing something right. So that's the way to go. That's my advice.
I also identified with what happened to you when you had your the situation with, I think your bicep that you you tore and you went to the doctor. Well, I didn't, but I had a procedure, one of those procedures you get at a certain age that involves drinking a lot of stuff the night before.
And procedures.
And the doctor said, yeah, we're going to check back with you in about 7 years. And I said, that seems like a long time. Is it because it's just reached the point where now you think something else will take me down first?
Yeah, better chance you're going to get hit by a car. Yeah. That is not my problem. Yeah, that's their thought. Yeah, I was talking about, in the last week, I heard like four different people, relatives and friends, had a knee replacement, had a hip replacement. I said, you know, at this point, it's all parts and labor. You know, it's just, we're only going to charge you for the parts and the labor. And if you can make it through, I think you can get another couple of thousand miles out of your body. But yeah, things start going bad. You start breaking in places you didn't anticipate. And as much as you listen to older people complaining, it's still a surprise when it happens to you. I go, I can't feel my left foot. Is that something I should worry about? Yes, it is.
I find myself saying to friends, because I'm right about your age, a year or so younger, and I find myself saying to friends, you ever have this happen? Say, do you ever wake up in the morning and this thing doesn't quite work? Oh, yeah, that. Don't worry about that.
Well, you know what? It's funny. Part of what I am finding is so refreshing doing stand-up live, and you don't get this elsewhere, is when you put forth something that you think is personal and it may be just you, well, when the audience laughs and they go, yeah, man, that's them saying, yes, us too. And so they're happy that it's not just them. And when they laugh, I'm happy to hear, oh, so it's not just me. You know, but there are little pockets of stupidity that I seem to just float through. I mean, this happened yesterday. I'm not a high-tech guy at all. So, but on our sink, in our kitchen sink, it's when the handle comes out. It's a little sprayer, and it comes out regular. But if you hit the button, then it comes out like a fine spray. As far as I knew, the only way to get it back to regular flow is you just shut it off, right, come back in 5 minutes, and it resets. And my wife says, no, hit the button a second time. I went, really? She goes, how long have we had this sink? I go, 8, 10, 12, 15 years. She goes, dummy. Yeah. I didn't, how could I not know that? Hit it again, it goes back. Nobody told me that. And I didn't bother to ask. I didn't bother to experiment. I just thought the sink knows if you walk away for 5 minutes, it will reset. So I'm trying to adjust to my own lack of intelligence.
You were a little bit of an older dad. I myself, a senior dad, I've got an 11-year-old, for God's sakes. Gosh. I know. And I love what you said in the special, good parents have to be good, most of all, at worrying.
Worrying, it's the number one skill, because that will cover really everything. But it can put you in a hospital yourself, because there's no limit to how many things to worry about. You know, I remember when my son went off to college, the week or two before he left, and he went to the East Coast. We live in LA, and he was out with his friends, and my wife said, "All right, call us, if you're going to be late, or let us know when you get in." And I said, "You understand? In 2 weeks, we're not going to know anything. We have to make an adjustment here. He's not going to call us from college and say, I'm in bed now. We have to adjust. We have to cross off some things that you can't worry about."
Paul Reiser with us here on Downtown. It was nice to see Detective Friedman get a well-deserved promotion after all these years.
Yes, in all those years that we weren't making Beverly Hills Cop, I apparently was promoted to chief of police or whatever my title, captain. That was, first day of shooting this last Beverly Hills Cop. The first day was Eddie and myself in the office. And I just looked at it and we just fell right into it. I went, can I just stop and really point out to you? It's 42 years since we did this the first time. And he looks the same, which is really annoying. I don't know what he's doing, but he looks great. I clearly had aged. And it was, you know, they did a great job. I went to the premiere of that. They had a big to do here. Netflix had a big blowout, and the audience was, it was so fun to see that they were digging it, not because it was the world's greatest picture, but just because it's like, oh, it feels exactly like the first one did. And we feel like we're back in high school or whatever we were when we saw the first one. So they really captured the feel of it. And it's good that Eddie looked the same, because then you could buy it.
I think I remember from the last time we talked, was it your son's suggestion that you get involved in the boys?
I had gotten an offer to join the boys, but I never heard of it. So I had to check with him, because my son is really dialed in. He knows everything, way more cool stuff and like anime and manga. You know, I can't say manga because it sounds like MAGA. And I don't want to get too confused. They're very different. But he just knows things in hip hop. And I said, they want me to be on this show, The Boys. I never heard of it. What do you think? And his quote was, oh, Dad, it's great, comma, and you'll hate it. So that was my reference. And I said, why would I hate it? Because I know you. And I get it because it's grotesque and violent. And I watched it and went, oh, my God. Oh, my goodness. This is so over the top. But it's great. I mean, once I understood, like, oh, that's their thing. It's just cartoonishly broad and violent and over the top. But it's really brilliant and impressively current. It really addresses themes and movements in the world in a very dark, funny way.
I loved Reboot. I was hoping there would be another season. Your character of Gordon was so great. And what a terrific cast.
Reboot was such a fun show. It was a fantastic cast of Keegan-Michael Key and Judy Blume, Rachel Blume and Judy Greer and Johnny Knoxville. I said, well, I'll do this for 5 years. This is fun. And the only reason that Hulu didn't pick it up, and I will say, some of the executives, not all of them, but some of the executives are stupid. And that's the only reason I believe that it wasn't picked up.
What's the story on Long Short Story that I see is coming to Netflix later this summer?
Yes, I haven't seen it. It's an animated show by Raphael Bob Wackman, who did BoJack Horseman. So it's dark, but it's actually very sweet. It's almost like a cartoon, an animated version, but similar structure to This Is Us. It's about a family, and it just hops all over from when they're young, when they're old, and but it's animated and cartoon, and it's interesting. I think it's gonna. I don't know if it'll be for everybody, but it's really well done and very funny. It'll be on Netflix. The end of August, and it's called Long Story Short. I keep forgetting that's the name of it. They just came up with that name.
Well, recently. BoJack Horseman was great and funny, and then all of a sudden, the last season, I thought, got incredibly poignant.
I didn't watch the last season. I should. It's so funny. I have to watch that. My son got me into it, and I thought, this is really funny. It's really good. So, yes, the same creator. And you might want to check that out. But it's not too late to tell your audience to go on iTunes or go on Amazon and watch my movie, The Problem with People, because I love that movie.
And in Ireland, right?
We shot in Ireland because I wanted to go to Ireland. I love Ireland. And I wanted to make a movie there. And in the absence of finding one, I said, well, I'll just write it. And then I'll have to cast myself. And so far, that movie domestically has made over $600. And you know what? That's only going to go up. It's going to go up. But so no, it did not have the budget was probably the daily craft services of Mission Impossible. That's about what they spent. But
you didn't have to do any of the dangerous stunts that Cruise does.
No, I wrote it mostly sitting and walking slowly was my physical activity. And that's the genius of making your own scripts. I go, perhaps he'd sit down. But it was really sweet. It's a beautiful movie. Everybody who saw it loved it. So I invite people to go check it out. It's called The Problem with People. Colm Meaney and myself and Jane Levy. And it's a really sweet, funny movie. And it's beautiful because it's all Ireland. And everybody said, oh, you know, it rains every 40 minutes. We were there in the summer and had just apparently very uncharacteristic, beautiful weather. So it's a beautiful movie to look at, and it will tickle you and move you, hopefully.
I also really enjoyed your collaboration with Michael McDonald on his wonderful memoir.
You are up to date. You have seen it all, read it all, done it all.
Well, it was a terrific book, and I know. So you guys got together initially over music, and you went back to your house and you did some jamming together.
Yeah, Michael McDonald. I was a big fan of Michael McDonald, and I met him at a social event, and I shamelessly went over and said, "God, I'm a big fan of yours, and I live next door. You want to come over and play piano?" I have two pianos. He went, "Yeah, man, why not?" I went, "Okay, you're easy." So we became friends. And I would always ask him, I never understood his career. Like, he's sort of under the radar. You love his music, but like, how did you get here? And so I said, "You should write a book." He said, "I don't know how to write a book." I said, "I do, I'll help you." So we spent a couple of months just talking and telling stories. And then it's his story. And I just basically helped him put it together. And it's a very moving story. And the more we talked and the more it came out, he started feeling more confident that, I guess I do have a story to tell. Because he's very candid and very honest, and he talks about his insecurities and his struggles with drugs and alcohol, which he's been clean sober for almost 40 years. But, it took his toll, and it really shapes his personality. He's just such a humble, grateful guy. So it is a beautiful story that I hope people, it's called What a Fool Believes, which he said, "No, that's too easy." I said, "Trust me. Everybody's going to go, that's got to be the Michael McDonald story." And he goes, "Yeah, all right, okay,
we win." We've been lucky enough to talk with Kevin Bacon, Steve Guttenberg, Michael Tucker about what remains one of my all-time favorite movies. Diner, can't believe it's, 43 years old now.
Yes.
But such a terrific film that holds up so well. Am I right that a lot of the Modell dialogue was improvised?
My dialogue was, I played Modell, and it was almost entirely improvised because I had no, it was very underwritten character. The director, Barry Levinson, had this idea that there'll be a sixth guy, Modell, who he'll be funny, but I don't know how or why. So we sort of just, he just let us play, and then he would say, "Remember the thing you did yesterday? Do that again." I went, "Okay, I don't understand it, but okay." And then he apparently knew what he was doing. But it was a great movie. We had, a couple of years ago, we had the 40th reunion. They had a special screening at, AFI, American Film Institute, or somebody. And it was wow. And we got together. We hadn't been together as a group in 40 years. And it's like getting together with your high school buddies. You know, you're instantly the same idiots you were telling stories. Like, you're married and kids, and some people have grandkids. And like, we're still the same idiots. I'm happy to see.
Well, looking forward to seeing the show at the Waterville Opera House coming up on the 6th of June. I want to let people know about some other dates as well. July 19th, Charleston, South Carolina, the 21st of July at Hilton Head, back up to New England in July of the 24th, Rutland, Vermont, the 25th, Great Barrington, Mass, and the 26th in Huntington, New York.
Yeah, that's going to be a lot of driving.
That's a lot this summer, Paul. You're going to be a busy guy.
I know. But, you know, the Waterville Opera House, I want to point out, there's very little opera in my show. It is an opera house, but I'm going to say virtually no singing whatsoever. So if that was your concern, I like Reiser, but I don't enjoy opera, relax. No opera to be had in my show.
So a fat lady will not sing?
We don't know that.
Okay.
You never know. Sometimes somebody comes up and has a song. But I look forward. I was there a few years ago, and it was a wonderful crowd. It was beautiful. I love that part of the country. And I look forward to seeing you. And if you come, please say hello.
Absolutely. Well, Paul, appreciate you making time for us today.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it.
Beautiful. Thanks again, Paul.
Nicely done. Appreciate it. Thanks, Rich.
You bet. See you soon. Bye-bye.
Take care.